It's the modernist and the liberal and the humanist, those who follow the ideology of evolution and so on, that tells you that the scale is going upward and man is getting better and better. Just give him a little more time. That's all evolution has ever asked for, is more time. That's why they can never decide on how many billions of years it was since the Big Bang. They need more time. And of course, they are what they call uniformitarianists. They feel, well, as it happened then and how things have, it's just going to, that trajectory will keep going on. But the Bible tells us that time's going to run out. Thank you for joining with us here on Let the Bible Speak. This is Ian Gollaher. We're on the air again to bring you the message of the gospel from the pulpit of our church right to you wherever you are. And I trust that you'll stay tuned with us right through the program. We're dealing today with salt, being a salting Christian. The world is corrupt and it needs to be savored with the very salt of Christianity. And our prayer ought to be that in this land of Canada, that God will save many souls, build up the church, and make her a powerful witness in the nation. That's the only hope of this nation. That's the only hope for souls that are dying without the light of the gospel. Let me read to you these verses by our Lord Jesus in Matthew 5. He says, Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out, and to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on an hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Well, this is our prayer today, that God will take his word and that he will be glorified. This is the ultimate purpose of our faith, that we may bring honor to the Lord and glorify our Father which is in heaven. Jesus came into the world to glorify his Father, to reveal him, and to bring men and women into the knowledge of the eternal God. And our burden must be that the knowledge of God is known in the earth. And that comes to this message of being salt and light in this world. And I trust that today that the delivery of this message will bring some guidance, some motivation, some stirring of your heart, that you will be salt, a salting Christian, not one that's adding to the corruption or just neutral, but truly an answer, the solution to the corruption that is in the world. May God bless you as we tune now to the pulpit of our church for today's message. Well, we've finished the Beatitudes, all eight of them, over the last weeks. And I think that we have learned that there are depths in every one of them that really speak to the life of the Christian. The Beatitudes are the evidences of the new birth. And we completed the eighth one last week, and we learned that the toughest thing in the world is when you are reviled for Jesus' sake. And that is the great test of a Christian. And very often it weeds out those who are not willing to bear the offense of the cross. They're not willing to stand up for Jesus in a hostile world and be counted a fool for Jesus' sake. And I hope that everyone here tonight is prepared to be a fool for Jesus' sake. And that is something that we must be prepared to do, to die to our own reputation, die to our own importance, and be counted by the world as an idiot and looked upon as one who has really gone off the deep end and has lost their senses. That's how the world thinks. And when you go and say, well, we had a wonderful day in church on Sunday, people will shake their heads and begin to worry about you. Because how can a Christian have a great time, especially when the Lord says that blessed are the persecuted? Well, that's the secret of it all, there is a joy for standing up for the Lord. And there is an inner work of the Spirit that witnesses with our spirit that we are indeed the children of God. Now, in these eight Beatitudes, the Lord is preparing us to go out and serve into the world. And the first thing the Lord says to us then is, ye are the salt of the earth. Now, we're not to go and be hermits, and we're not to go and live in a monastery. We are told to be salt and light in the world. And if you know that salt, it will not do its work unless it's rubbed in. And so the whole idea that to live a godly life and a holy life, that you have to go to a monastery or a cloister or into some cave in a desert place, as many have done. And they have sought there to live out their days, getting free from the corruption of the world. And we know now, of course, the history of many of those places had their own corruption right within the very corruption of human nature. In ancient Rome, salt was your salary. Soldiers were paid in salt. And the Greek word salarium gives us in the English this word salary. And we also have the saying that that man's not worth his salt, which really means he's not worth his pay. And he's just loitering. He's not really a worker. He's a shirker. And he's not worth his salt. And so this is the very common usage of it in Bible times. And when the Lord Jesus took up this analogy and he said that ye are the salt of the earth, well, everyone knew exactly what it was about, because it was a common thing, and it was used for purifying and for disinfecting, and it was used for preserving. And if you didn't have a fridge at home, you'd probably use a whole lot more salt to preserve food and keep it from decaying. Salt is a very important thing. You can use too much of it, of course, and medical people try to warn us and say that's white death. Don't be using too much of that salt. And yet, on the other hand, the human body needs salt. If you were a road worker in a summer hot day, you'd be advised to take salt tablets, because you sweat and you perspire and you lose so much of the salt content that your body can't function. And salt is a very necessary thing. Soldiers do that in hot climates when they're on the march. Even our own Canadian soldiers, when in Afghanistan, I remember a report that such was the climate that they had to replenish the salt content very carefully. And so we must now figure out what the Lord Jesus was saying when he was sending out his people, and he says, ye are the salt of the earth. And we've got to figure out, what does that mean for us tonight in the 21st century? As we read our Bibles, we believe in a Bible that is inspired, inerrant, preserved, and timeless. It's as valuable to us tonight as it was to those who first got the fresh copy from Matthew as he recorded the words of the Lord Jesus. Indeed, it's important to us tonight as the very people on the Sermon on the Mount when Jesus gave them these words for the very first time. But how are we tomorrow, Monday morning, and through the week going to be as salt in the earth? What will it mean in our lives? Well, firstly, and this is not a major point, by the way, it's still my introduction. First thing that you need to get a hold of is that just as salt is a very useful commodity, so are you as a Christian. You are a valuable agent and instrument in the hand of God. That's why he saved us. That's why he redeemed us at such great cost. The Lord is not going to redeem something and then not use us. We are to be his witnesses. We are to be salt, this agent that's at work in the earth, we are told here. And the first thing, and this is my heading now, that this statement of the Lord Jesus, it really suggests the corrupt state of the world. The awful corruption that is in the world. And it tells us that the earth needs salting. Now, there is something inherently wrong in the world. Now, when we talk about the world, we're not just talking about the rocks and the trees. We're talking about human nature. There's something wrong in the human heart, and it's corruption. This tendency to spoil and to do the wrong, to rebel and to stink in the nostrils of God. And society, the heart of man, is really like a piece of meat. And if you have what starts out as a fresh piece of meat and you lay it in the hot sun or in a sticky climate, it's not very long until it will decay. It needs to be preserved. The moment that that animal is killed and the meat is laid out, it's decaying. And the world around us is a corrupt world. I don't think we have to go very far to prove that. We see it in the Senate. We see it in politics. We see it in business. We see it in the banking world. The greatest mistake that was made a few years ago was to deregulate the banking industry and let it monitor itself. Well, that all sounds very good if you didn't have corrupt men running it. But you can't let the fox into the chicken house and not have problems. And when corruption and the nature of sin is in the world, we are going to have problems. And every experiment, apart, of course, from the gospel, to try and preserve this world from corruption, education, culture, and information, psychology, all manner of methodologies have utterly failed. The world tonight is as corrupt as ever, if not more so. The world's in trouble tonight as much as ever. We see that corruption and that awful, beastly nature of men in the wars of this world and in the vices, the carnality of human nature that is so evident around us. In Britain, I was reading a recent statistic that the suicide rate of young men is at an all-time high. And the observation was that at the age of 44, that is the peak of the statistics for male suicides in Great Britain. Now, some of them are destitute cases. Some of them are people with mental issues, but by no means all. Many of them are very successful people. Many of them have climbed their ladder in their schooling and careers and businesses. And for some dreadful reason, they end their lives. They get to the point where they can't go any further. And it shows you that in the heart of man, there is, to say the least, dissatisfaction. There's a lostness. There's a loneliness. There's an inability to figure things out and move on. And this is really the awful state of the world. Now, in Matthew 15, and verse 19, the Lord Jesus really nailed it. And coming to this issue of the corruption of man's heart, he came to teach on this, and he said, out of the heart, Matthew 15, verse 19, out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. Why, you could put that in the Vancouver Sun tomorrow morning. It would cover a whole lot of things that's inside the paper. Human nature is corrupt and has ever been corrupt right from the beginning when Adam sinned against God and was driven out. And we read together that history in Genesis 6, how the sons of God married the daughters of men. Mixed marriage between those who were believers and unbelievers. And the corruption just multiplied. And it became so bad that God said, "My spirit shall not always strive with man." And it repented God that he had made man when he looked us and saw the awful stench of corruption that was in that day. And then God determined that he would judge the world by a flood. And men today laugh at the whole idea of Noah's flood because they laugh at the idea that God will ever judge sin and corruption. And this is the seriousness of the matter, because the world tonight is as close to judgment as it was in Noah's day. And as we see the escalation of legalized sin in our society, open sin, things that men were ashamed of and put in prison for years ago are now flagrantly put out, and we must all support them. The whole society is becoming corrupt, and it's headed for judgment. And so that's why the work that you and I are to do as Christians, to be the salt of the earth, is vitally important. Never think for a moment that your witness as a Christian doesn't count for anything. It is vital to God, and it may stay the judgment of God upon the world. You remember how Abraham prayed whenever God was going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, and he said, "Lord, were you going to destroy it for 50 righteous? Will you not save it for 40 and 30, right down to 10? And of course, there weren't even 10 left. And here's the problem. When the numbers of born-again Christians diminish, the salt impact, the witness of the gospel diminishes. And the corruption gets so serious that God is only left to judge and destroy. Now, here's a point. That the judgment that fell upon the world, and the new world that was created when Noah and his family came out of the ark, did it end the corruption? Well, we read on and we soon find sin again. Fornication, incest, immorality, drunkenness. And so there was corruption in the ark. And all we can say is the Bible teaches us that Noah found grace. That's why Noah was saved, not because he was any better. He found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And that's why we're here tonight. And that's the only argument we can have why we're Christians. We found grace in the eyes of the Lord. I was no better, just as corrupt, just as sinful. And if left to myself now, would manifest the same old corruption all over again. And that's why, and we'll get to it in a little bit, in Matthew 5 it says, if the salt lose its savor, and don't you dare lose your savor. Don't lose your saltiness. Because then we become good for nothing. And the vital work that we're doing, we can't do it if we lose our savor. We can't be useful to God if we lose our savor. And that brings us to the need of the Holy Spirit's ministry in our own hearts. How come we're the salt? Because we're born again. We have new hearts and new natures. We are indwelt by a new life. We're not living by the old principle of Adam and sin and the ways of corruption. We have repented of that. We now have a desire to live for God. And that's the salty part. That's the saltiness of the Christian. And we need the power of the Holy Spirit filling us and fitting us to be different from the world, that we might be salt and have an impact of preserving and purifying in this ungodly world. Otherwise, sin in us would just be like a time bomb ready to go off, and it would manifest itself in any ugly way you could imagine. And so we need to be kept, and we need to be salty. But the point I'm making here under this heading is, don't dare think nor don't dare tell God the world's getting better. It's not. It's the modernist and the liberal and the humanist, those who follow the ideology of evolution and so on, that tells you that the scale is going upward and man is getting better and better, just give him a little more time. That's all evolution has ever asked for, is more time. That's why they can never decide on how many billions of years it was since the Big Bang. They need more time. And of course, they are what they call uniformitarianists. They feel, well, as it happened then and how things have, it's just going to, that trajectory will keep going on. But the Bible tells us that time's going to run out and this world is going to be judged. Christ will come, and he will come to a world that is rebellious, that is lost, and as it was in the days of Noah. Now, sometimes we wrestle to understand, is that the suddenness factor or is that the corruption factor? And maybe it's both. That when the Lord returns, he's going to come to a very corrupt world, but he's going to come suddenly, just as that flood came upon the world and destroyed it. Now, this text declares the status of the Christian in the world. And it tells us right here in this verse 13, ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith it shall be salted, it is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and be trodden underfoot of men. Now, this brings us to the application of the salt. The status of the Christian in the world, ye are the salt of the earth. And it has to be applied and rubbed in. And that, of course, means that we're not going to the Kiev or a commune or a community outside the world. We're going to be living in the world. And my function and your function is to strive by the power of God to make this world a godly place and a holy place, living according to righteousness. And it's out of a pure heart. And all of these beatitudes will play into this, because it means blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. You can't be a salty Christian if you don't love righteousness. You can't be a salty Christian if you're not pure in heart. Otherwise, you're just a Pharisee with an outward sham calling for holiness when inside you is nothing but corruption. But when you're born again and you get a new heart and you've got a new nature and a new desire for God, then your work is to be salt in the earth. And the Christian is to be, therefore, a savor of God, a savor of Christ, a savor of truth and righteousness within this world. And of course, the Lord rebuked the hypocrisy of the Pharisees. This Sermon of the Mount, he did that. And he did it over and over again through his ministry. If there's anything that really irked the Lord, it was hypocrisy. And we've got to be a people who have a genuine goal with a genuine motive and a purity that backs up our endeavors to change this world for Christ. How do you do that? Well, I picked up on a word that I think it's akin to being salt, and it's the word savor. And as we know, salt does savor food. And there are foods in this world, and they're tremendous. They're great food, but always so much better with salt. And our lives will be so much better when we are savory and savoring those things around us. Now, that word savor is what I picked up. I want to take it to 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. And there are depths here. There are truths here that really will be beyond us tonight. But I think that it will get us on praying ground at least and saying, Lord, make me to be a savor unto God. And you'll notice that it's a note of thanksgiving that the apostle begins with here, 2 Corinthians 2:14. Now thanks be unto God. And then it's a note of triumph, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ. So there's a Christian. And our strength and our power and our joy and our ministry and our everything really comes from Christ, just as a branch in the vine. Our whole life is now as a Christian, drawing our graces from the Lord. What's the result of that? Verse 14. And maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. My, there's a sermon outline right there. And there you have this grace, this triumph of Christ made manifest or made known, the savor of his knowledge. And so it has to do with truth. The savor of his knowledge. The Christian is always engaged in truth. This is not so abstract and so blank page. It is really the revelation of God, the knowledge of God, and the knowledge of the gospel by us. And here's the mercy of it. God takes you and me, Christians, to be the salt and the savor in every place. Now apply that in the church. It should start right here tonight. And your witness and your singing and your praying and your godly living should bring into the church a very savor, your very witness, your testimony, your countenance, your joyfulness, your spirit of thankfulness. All of that is going to make more and add to the whole worship of the church unto the Lord. Well, I hope that you have been challenged by these words, and they certainly challenge my heart as I study and give myself to understand these things. That's what a preacher does. We open the scriptures and we firstly do our research. We try to understand what the meaning of the passage is, and then how it refers and how it ought to be applicable to our present day. And I, as a preacher of the word, have to ask, is my ministry one of salt? Now, the thrust of it all is that we are the answer to corruption. Corruption in society, corruption in human hearts, corruption in homes, corruption through the media, and all the vices and the filth of this world. The Christian and the Christian message is to be as salt, and it must be applied very carefully. And the church in particular is to be a salting influence in this corrupt and wicked world. Now, I understand that when meat was being preserved and the salt was used, that the salt was rubbed right into the cuts of meat so that it did its work to avoid any corruption affecting the meat. And the church must be in the world in the sense that it's a living witness. We don't hide in the corner, we don't run from the task, and we must, in a sense, be in the face of men. We must bring the message of the gospel to the hearts of men, however we do it. And this is my great privilege here on radio, day by day, to preach the word, and we're thankful for this great opportunity, and I trust that people turn that dial on, and they hear the message, and that men, whatever state they're in, that we bring this salt, this message of purity, to sinful lives. And I trust that today God has spoken and that your life will be affected by the power of the gospel. You are listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio broadcast of the Free Presbyterian Church in Canada. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you can find it archived by program date on our website. Just go to www.ltbs.ca, CA for Canada. There you can read my blog, find my Bible study notes, audio and video sermons, as well as helpful articles. Or you can go to our podcast on iTunes. We are on the air Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for our full church broadcast, and Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. on this station to bring you the gospel from our Free Presbyterian Church here in Cloverdale. We also invite you to our church services on Sundays, 10:30 and 6 p.m. Through our website, you can listen and view to our online services at 10:30 and 6 p.m. Make it your Sunday worship. Click on the Live Now button on the home page of our website. Or if you would like to talk with me one-on-one as a pastor, please give me a call. The phone number is 604-897-2040. The mailing address is 18790 58 Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S1M6. We're located just two blocks north of Number 10 Highway on 188 Street. Our website again is ltbs.ca. You can join us Monday to Friday, 5 a.m., 5 p.m., here on this station as we let the Bible speak.